Any church that you go to, you will probably hear the word missions or missionary or something along those lines. I know growing up, we had, you know, weeks set aside where we would have missionaries come in and speak, and we had certain weeks set aside where the offerings that were given were mission-specific type offerings. And so it's something that, you know, it's a very familiar word. And oftentimes the Primitive Baptists are accused of being anti-missions, anti-missionary. And I want to look at what the Scripture says about missions and missionary to see, are missions and missionaries, is that a biblical pattern? And I will go ahead and give you the answer to that, and that is yes. Okay? Primitive Baptists are not anti-missions and anti-missionary. Please hear me. If you didn't hear anything, I said that first because maybe by the time I'm talking, you've drifted off and you're going to leave out here and say something I didn't say. Primitive Baptists are not anti-mission and they are not anti-missionary. It is a biblical pattern. I don't see how you could come to any other conclusion if all you did was sit down and study the life of Paul and come to the conclusion that traveling and doing mission type things is not a biblical pattern, because that was Paul's lot. Right. I mean, he went from place to place to place to place, traveling great lengths oftentimes to preach. So it is a biblical pattern. Right. Now, where we will find the Primitive Baptist differ from, I would say, the mainstream idea of missions and missionaries is, number one, who is in charge of directing those missionaries. As far as where they are sending them, who they are sending, that we would differ on who is in charge of directing that. And we would also differ on what is the purpose of the mission. All right, so simply on those two points and those two points alone, that's where we'll find some difference. And I think if you'll allow me to go through the Scriptures today, I think you will find that the stance that the Primitive Baptists have on missions and missionaries is a biblical one. It follows the biblical pattern. So again, I want to look at those two things. One, what does the Bible say about who should direct missions? Meaning, who is it that says go, and who is it that says this is where you go? All right, is it a board of men? Is it some other entity, or is it the Spirit of God? Now, if you look at in Luke the 10th chapter, it's a good picture, and I'm going to be flipping a whole lot today, and I'll try to be, I won't be in any verse too terribly long though. In Luke the 10th chapter, it's a beautiful picture of what we might call today of missionaries being sent out. And it says this, after these things, in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them, sounds a whole lot like somebody's being sent on a mission, and sent them two by two, two and two, before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he, this is Jesus speaking, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, my question is, who does he say we need to pray would send forth laborers? Who is the he's talking about here? It's the Spirit of God. Right. He doesn't say, pray ye therefore the Lord of a harvest that men would send forth laborers, that a board would send forth laborers. He says that he would burden and send forth laborers into this harvest that is ripe. Now, if in no other place in the Bible I had to look at who is in charge of sending men out on these certain missions, it would be in Luke the 10th chapter. Because 70 men are sent out two by two, and he sends them, and it says he is the one that is doing the sending. Right. Now, we're going to come back to Luke, the 10th chapter, in just a little bit. Now, it's also interesting if you flip over to Acts, the 16th chapter. You know, I have found throughout life, and I'm sure most of you have, that a lot of times when things get messed up in my life, it's because I messed them up. Because I had a skewed view or perception of a situation, and I acted on that skewed perception, and I just messed everything up. Or I had certain thoughts or certain expectations, and I acted based on those, and I just kind of messed everything up. We're good at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in Acts the 16th chapter, here you have some people that we could consider them missionaries. They are traveling, carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in the 6th chapter, notice this. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." All right, number one, there was some desire there of these people. They've gone to these two through this region of Galatia, and they are headed into Asia to preach.
Right.
But what does it say? It says the Holy Ghost had forbidden them to preach in Asia. Now, I don't know what that looked like. I don't know exactly how that forbidding of them going actually looked. Was it something that the Lord just put in their heart? Was it an obstacle that was put out in front of them? I don't know. But you can see here the intent of these men was to go into Asia. And if it was left up to men on where they should go, they would have gone into Asia. Now, what was waiting in Asia on them? I don't know. Possibly death. And it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Asia. After they were come to Messiah, they essayed, or that is, they desired or attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not.
Right.
All right. Do you see anything here where it looks like the Spirit of God is guiding men? Hey, guys, where are we going next? We've been through the region of Galatia. I tell you what, I think we ought to go into Asia. That's where we ought to go. The Spirit says, don't do it.
Right.
Spirit forbid them to do that. If it had been left up to them, they would have gone to the wrong place.
Right.
All right, so then it says they attempted to go into Bithynia. All right, well, let's don't go into Asia. I tell you what, instead of Asia, let's go into Bithynia. And the Spirit said, no. And they, passing by Messiah, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering, listen to this, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. All right, so here you have this band of men, or missionaries, if you will. They want to go to Asia, the Lord says no. They want to go to Bithynia, the Lord says no. And then the Lord reveals to them, it is in Macedonia where I want you to go. Aren't you glad that the Lord was in charge of this mission? I guarantee the men of Macedonia were glad. Because had the Lord not have been guiding this, they would have never been in Macedonia. They probably would have gone into Asia or Bithynia and be killed or imprisoned. Aren't you glad that the Lord leads the mission?
Yes.
Now, what about in Acts the 10th chapter? Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. This is the account of Peter and Cornelius. Now, I don't have time to go through the entire account of Peter and Cornelius, but for those of you that are familiar with it, do you think the Lord had a specific place and group of people that he wanted Peter to go to?
Amen.
Or do you think he wanted him to just blindly go out through there, just, trying to find whoever would listen? The Lord comes to Peter in a vision and basically says, don't call anything that I've cleansed uncommon or unclean. And then before you know it, there are three men that are not Jewish that come knocking on Peter's door. And before this vision, Peter would have opened the door and said, it's not lawful for us to be in the same place. But those three men that God has revealed to Peter, that don't look at them as they are any less than you, because my spirit dwells in them just like it dwells in you, and they are going to request of you to go to a general area? No, a specific man in a specific house. His name is Cornelius. Well, at the same time the Lord's working on Peter, the Lord's working on Cornelius. And what you find is, this is the way Peter says this when he is recounting the interaction with the Lord and Cornelius. When he's replaying that to other people, he says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting." You see what Peter says? Peter said it was the Spirit of God that moved me to go to Cornelius' house and to go with these three men that minutes before my vision I would have said are beneath me and unclean and not worthy to be in my presence and not lawful to be in the house that I'm in. And if you read that account, he says that. Now, why is it important that the Lord is the one directing the mission? Think about that. Again, they wanted to go into Asia? Nope. Bithynia? Nope. Macedonia? Yes. Peter, Cornelius, go to Cornelius. Why is it important that we let the Spirit of God direct the missions? Number one is because the Lord knows where His people are.
Amen.
We don't.
Right.
The Lord knows where His people are. If you look, when they do go into Macedonia, after they leave Macedonia, they go into the city of Corinth. You can read about this in Acts the 18th chapter. When they get to the city of Corinth, what they find is some opposition. They find opposition in the city of Corinth, and it says, "He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." And it says, "When Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." And it says, "And when they opposed him and blasphemed," so what we find here is Peter is preaching in Corinth and he finds great opposition. And what happens when we face a lot of opposition? What is one of the first things that springs up inside of us? And that's fear. Fear of opposition. All right? So it would be easy to say, all right, I went into Corinth and I was opposed. These people are blaspheming. Look at what all they did to Paul throughout the book of Acts. He knows what's at stake here, and man would probably say, I'm out of here. I'm done with Corinth. Look, I came in here, I reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and all y'all do is oppose me, I'm out. But it says in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Listen to this. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city."
Amen.
And it says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." What would have happened if Paul and his carnal nature would have been in charge of directing his mission? He would have up and left Corinth probably just like that. But God comes to him and he says this, "Look, Paul, I know where my people are. And I know it doesn't look like they're here, but I've got a lot of folks in this city that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that comforted Paul and quenched his fear. And it said he stayed there a year and 6 months.
Amen.
Now, that's one reason it's important, because the Lord knows where his people are. The Bible is also important because the Lord knows who's going to receive it. We don't know who's necessarily going to receive it, but the Lord knows.
Amen.
And unfortunately, on the other end of this, the Lord tells Jeremiah, "I'm sending you here anyway," and they're not going to receive it.
Right.
But Paul says twice that I know of in the Bible, he says, when you pray, and I'm paraphrasing, when you pray, Pray that I would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men.
Right.
And pray that I would be delivered from those that don't believe.
Right.
You see, Paul's not saying, Lord, send me into those that are living in unbelief. Paul says, deliver me from them. What is Paul saying? Lord, I know that you know where those people are that will receive what I'm saying, and I'm begging you to send me there.
Amen.
I don't know where God's people are, and I don't know which ones are going to receive it, but the Lord does.
Amen.
The Lord also knows what they need to hear. Now, this is an important one. I'll give you a good example of this. It was two months ago. I had had probably one of the worst weeks that I've had in a long, long time. It pales in comparison to a lot of people's weeks. I understand. But for me, it was a very bad week. My mind was very heavy. I came home. It was a Wednesday. I came home. I was telling Tiffany all about these things. And I just, you know, and we talked, just she and I, until 6 o'clock. All right, what time does the church start? On Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. And I was beat down, discouraged, and listen, I'm being honest with you, I just didn't have it in me to come. But I came anyway. All right, and I encourage you, don't follow many of my examples, but follow that one.
Amen.
If you don't feel like being here, come anyway. Look, the world will offer you a million and one things that you can be doing on this Sunday morning, but I am telling you on the authority of the Word of God, this is where you are supposed to be.
Amen.
Everything else can wait. And if the Lord parted the sky and showed you His glory, you would fall on your face in shame if you were anywhere else but right here on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Now, nobody else may agree with me on that, but I'm telling you, I believe that's the truth.
Amen.
Everything else can wait. So I came up, I got up, and I came anyway. Brother Tim, it was his night to preach. He walks up here. He says, what I had planned to preach, I'm not preaching. He says, as of 5 minutes ago, I've changed my mind. And he preached a message, and out of the thousands of sermons I've ever heard, if ever there was one that was made for me, it was that Wednesday night. And after the service, I took him back in his study back there, and I said, brother, I had tears in my eyes. I said, you have no idea. You have no idea how the Lord just used you to encourage me, because the Lord knew what I needed to hear.
Amen.
That's another reason preachers need to follow the Spirit of God when they're preaching, not some book you can go buy at Lifeway Christian Store.
Right.
Because God knows what His people need. That's why He needs to send the people and direct the mission. The Lord also knows who's going to hear it. In Mark, the 6th chapter, and I probably told you this story before, I'm going to tell you again because I think it's funny. The Lord knows who's going to hear it. The Lord says that a prophet or a preacher is not without honor except in his home country. He says that the prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. So what the Lord is saying here is sometimes it takes the right person saying the right thing to the right people really for it to be effective.
Right.
Not because the Lord's message is not powerful enough. It's because we are so fallen and corrupt.
Right.
That it takes the right person in the right place with the right message. And I've told this before. I was talking to somebody years ago. I had come to the knowledge of salvation by grace, and I was talking to somebody that was very close to me, and I talked and talked and talked, and I tried my best. I was line by line. I mean, I followed the book to a T. Nothing. And they're in church one day, and Brother Buddy Abernathy gets up here and preaches every single thing that I had been going over and over with them, and they were like, I get that. And I just thought, and you know why? Because I was the wrong person. Now, did I glorify God in what I was doing? I hope I did in the way I did it. But it took the right person to do it. So let me say this. The Lord knows where His people are. The Lord knows who's going to receive it. The Lord knows what they need to hear. And the Lord knows who will reject it.
Right.
That's why you need to let him direct it.
Amen.
I don't know any of those things. So you don't want me to say, hey, Brother Tim, I think you need to go back to Africa. Because I don't know any of those things. Or Brother Tim, I think you need to get up and you need to go to South America. Because I don't know those things. But if the Lord burdens his heart and directs him to go, see, I'm telling him, go into Asia and go into Bithynia. But the Lord says, no, I want you to go here.
Right.
Now, I got a couple minutes. What is the purpose of a mission? I'm not anti-missionary. I just think the Lord needs to direct the mission. What's the purpose of it? In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, I want you to notice how beautifully this plays out. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Speaking of the Lord, in verse 9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What is the purpose of the gospel? It is to bring life and immortality to light. It is to illuminate it. It is to show you what is already there. It is to show you what has already been done for you. It is to show you the origin of the divine nature that dwells inside every born-again child of God. It is there to explain to you why you feel the way you do, why you're tender about this, why you're compassionate about this, why you love this, why you want to pursue peace and the other man doesn't. It's there to bring all that to light. It's not because you're necessarily more educated or more intelligent. It's because you have a divine nature that God put there. That is bringing life and immortality to light. And notice this, in Acts the 13th chapter, Paul is preaching and the Jews are rejecting him and they don't want to hear it, so he preaches to the Gentiles. And it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. What is Paul doing here? He is illuminating to these Gentiles what the Lord has already done for them.
Amen.
And it says, they heard it and they were glad, they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, I am not the smartest man in the world, but it is not as difficult for me to figure out which one of those things came first. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They were already God's people, chosen before the foundation of the world, ordained to eternal life, but they needed some light. And that is the purpose of the mission, is to bring life and immortality to light. In Acts, the second chapter, when it says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It doesn't say that heaven gained 3,000 souls. It says it was added unto them, unto that party, unto that group, unto that body. Do you understand? The purpose of the gospel is to illuminate things, and the result of that is God's people are congregated and united together. You could call it a church, if you will. Another thing here, the purpose of the mission. I told you I was going back to Luke, the 10th chapter. Oftentimes, when you hear maybe in other denominations about missionaries and mission work, one of the things that you will hear them hang their success on is how many people in their minds got saved. How many people escaped the clutches of hell and are now going to be eternally with the Lord. That's their measure of success many times. When the Lord sends out the 70 two by two, when they return to him, I want you to look at what they considered success. And it's nothing like that. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's what they say. They don't say, Lord, I got 100 people to pray the sinner's prayer, or accept Jesus, or whatever you want to call it, or be baptized. They said none of those things. Why? Because they knew that wasn't their purpose. Their purpose was to go do the work of the Lord and to bring life and immortality to light. So in conclusion, Primitive Baptists, we are not anti-missionary. Brother Tim has been to Africa many times. Many times. On a mission. Directed by God. Trying to bring life and immortality to those precious of children of God in Africa who maybe don't have the freedom of the gospel that we have. It should be Spirit-led. It should bring life and immortality to light. That's the purpose of a mission and the purpose of a missionary. I hope that that's been profitable, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.